Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Now stop humming, it's everything to change.
The change
that warp to make you open your brain.
Open your brain.
Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name.
Remember the name.
Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. Stop humming intros always. Cause this is America's game.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to America's Game, episode number 73. I am your host, Eric Vanek, and you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL. And I am joined this week by T-Rock, and we're going to have T-Rock on here to talk about his running back article that he recently did and some running back data that he found. So, T-Rock, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? How are you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. Playoffs just happened this week, first week of them, week 15. How'd you end up doing in your playoffs for fantasy?
So I had four teams in the playoffs, and surprisingly, I won all of them. There were two teams that I didn't even want to win. I was kind of pissed off that I actually got in the playoffs. I wanted to tank those teams, but I did a bad job of being bad, and I surprisingly won. So we're 4-for-4 right now. How about you? You had 48 teams in the playoffs, didn't you?
Yeah, I had 47 out of my 67. Ended up advancing 34, and that counts the ones that I already had advanced, like I had the buy or whatever. So I think I had 17 buys. So that counts all those ones. So, yeah, 34 total going into week 16 are still alive. So that's pretty good. I'm not going to complain about that. Had a couple. So my two home leagues that, you know, I care pretty deeply about. One team, you know, a pretty decent score in that league every week is probably about 150-ish, we'll say, 150 points. I ended up putting up like 184. I'm like, awesome. Nice. Yeah, my opponent had like 196. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I got, who do you have in that one? He had Goff, he had Mike Evans, he had Terry McLaurin.
Goff had 50. Pretty close to it.
Yeah, so he had those guys. So I got, you know, beat from that way. And then the other league, it was a really tight game going into Sunday night and Monday night. I forget what the score was going into Monday night. Honestly, I did not even look because I'm like, he's got Darnold and I got Drake London. I'm like, there ain't no way I'm winning this anyways because Darnold's placing the Bears and they blow.
Yeah.
I never even checked the score over at night. I just assumed I lost. Woke up this morning and just checked it and saw I won by like a point or 2 points. I'm like, what the fuck?
Dang, that's awesome.
Excuse me. So, yeah, I had that one that I wasn't expecting to be in the playoffs or still be in the playoffs, but I'm still alive there, and I'm the defending champ. So
nice.
Happy to advance in that one. Yeah, I lost Scott Fishbowl. I'm officially out of that one. If I had the team, like there was, you know, the crazy teams this week that just went crazy with like 60-point guys and stuff. I probably had the team that like went crazy in the single digits or fucking zeros. They were so bad. Like, I had Geno Smith and Cousins. Those guys both sucked or got hurt. Jeez. Darnell Mooney was my receiver. He did. He got a zero. Kelsey did nothing. Josh Jacobs is like my only player who did good. Montgomery got injured. Breece Hall I had in there. Grendo played. Grendo was probably one of my higher scoring players, and he sucked. So, like, my whole team was just dog shit this week. So, I got knocked out of Scott Fishbowl, unfortunately.
I didn't think I was going to have a chance on one of my leagues. I was going up against the Rodgers-Adams stack. And I remember us talking about Davante Adams a few weeks ago, just, you know, how underrated he was. And then he showed up against me. And I had Darnell Mooney, who got me zero. But I still somehow won that game. I still pulled it out. I traded for Josh Jacobs the week before. So he bailed me out, him and George Kittle. So
nice. Then I had another league, too, with some of the guys from the Savage tier. And it's a best ball league. I had on this team Josh Allen, Jared Goff, Davante Adams. Had all three of them on my team. So, obviously, you know I won.
Is that like 140 points right there?
They were 160.
Oh, seven. My Lord.
And my opponent at the time, this was going into Sunday night game, had 176. So, like, those three almost outscored his entire team.
Dang, you buried him.
How about this for the kicker? On my bench is 44-point Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Lord.
So I had Allen, Goff, and Rodgers all on the same team, and I have Aaron Rodgers on my bench with 44 points.
I'm pretty surprised. I'm glad that they're still fighting, you know. I thought for sure that Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and the Jets were kind of just going to phone it in the rest of the season. So it's good to see them still.
It's, well, you know what it is? It's probably their FU on the way out to fuck up their draft pick.
Yep.
If Rodgers isn't going to be back because the owner don't like him, well, fuck you. Me and Adams are going to put up all these points, and we're going to go our separate ways, and Adams and Rodgers probably find another spot to go team up somewhere and move on.
Yeah. And Davante Adams still has – I think he still has, a you know, at least two or three more seasons of, you know, high wide receiver too.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of shit on the older receivers, but, I mean, yes, they do break down eventually, but, like – look at Thielen. Thielen's still killing it, man. I thought that guy was dead 3 years ago.
So,
Adam, same thing. Evans.
One of the articles I'm going to do this offseason, I've been wanting to write it for 2 years now. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, is how long do the elite players, Davante Adams, Derrick Henrys, those types of players, those generational ones, how long do they last in the NFL? Because they're cut from a different cloth compared to a lot of other players. So I want to take a trip down memory lane and look at the last, you know, couple decades and just to see those really elite players, how long do they last? Every position. So Travis Kelce's, you know, Tony Gonzalez, that kind of thing. I'm excited to write that whenever I get around to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That would probably be a really good article to kind of see what you find from doing that. So, yeah, I agree. That'd be a good one. All right, so let's get into some running back talk here. So you just recently did your running back article. You kind of this year with 2024, like the running backs have been coming back, man. They're the new thing. If you drafted all running backs on your teams this year, you're killing it right now. If you had Barkley and Henry on your team, you're, you know, probably in the hot number one seed in your playoffs. You're about ready to play this week. So, like, how about these running backs in 2024 kind of compared to other seasons? What have you seen so far?
Yeah, so before we get into, like, the individual players, I wanted to take a look at where 2024 ranks in terms of all-time rushing seasons. So what I did was, for this data, I went to Fantasy Pros and just downloaded all these different years' worth of data. And I looked at specifically the top 24 running backs just to make it a little bit easier on myself. And I looked at weeks 1 through 14. So if we look at 24 this season and you look at the top 24 running backs, it adds up to 21,654 rushing yards. That's the combined rushing total for the top 24 guys. Can you guess, Evie, how far you have to go back to find a better sample of rushing yards for the top 24 running backs at weeks 1 through 14?
Well, I'm going to probably have to go back early 2000s, I would guess, probably like the Priest Holmes, Travis Henry era.
So you luckily don't have to go that far back. So okay. 2012. Okay. So it's been 12 years, if my math is right. That's the season with Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch, Alfred Morris, Doug Martin, Jamal okay. Charles, and Arian Foster were your top six rushers. So, okay. yeah, they outrushed them, but it was close. Like, I think it was within 500 yards that they had within that. So we're having one of the best rush, just purely on the ground, one of the best seasons in over a decade. Now, if you arrange those same top 24 running backs this year by rushing touchdowns, it adds up to a whopping 192 rushing touchdowns that we've had so far. Where do you think you have to go far back when it comes to the top 24 running backs with more rushing total touchdowns?
Phew, man. Now, that might be back in the Sean Alexander LT days.
Yep, you're close.
That would be my guess, probably like a 2007 or something, 8.
Yep, you're close, 2006. That was the year LT had just by himself, like, let me see how many he had.
He had like 30-something touchdowns, I think.
So by week 14, he had 26 rushing touchdowns. So yeah. He had the vast majority all to himself. But also in that sample was Larry Johnson. He was right behind him. Marion Barber, Willie Parker, Rudy Johnson, and Corey Dillon were the top TD scorers at that time. 2012 and 2009 came really close. They each had 191 touchdowns, but I had to keep going until I found a year that they outrushed them. So you have to go back to 2006. And the last thing I looked at was fantasy points, you know, something okay. that we care about just as fantasy players. This is in PPR formats. Using the same sample, 14 weeks, top 24 running backs, it adds up this season to 4,910.1 PPR points. All right, last question. How far do you think you have to go back to find a better season with RB1s and 2s?
That one's close because I'm trying to think of, like, when were the really good PPR backs, and I'm kind of thinking of, like, the Matt Forte era. Is what first comes to mind.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's a lot more recent than you think. You don't have to go far back.
Okay. So I'm guessing probably like around Kamara's rookie year then. Probably like 2017.
2018. Yeah. Yep. So 2018, those top 24 running backs scored 5,140 points, which is insane. That was the year of Todd Gurley being on top. Saquon Barkley was 2, Christian McCaffrey was 3, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, and James Conner. Which yeah, I so
that
think
makes sense.
The craziest thing about that year is that everyone except Todd Gurley is still playing. And outside of Zeke, a lot of them are still playing pretty high at a pretty high level. So, right. So yeah, that's I always just try to think about, you know, trying to frame different seasons and players in historical contexts. And that's one of the things that, I don't know, I was just thinking about. It's like, where does this season stack up? How special is it truly? And it is a really good year for running backs.
Okay. So my first question when I come thinking of that, I might have to give you a minute to kind of look at it, but did it repeat the next season or maybe the next two seasons? Like, were they close? Did it fall off a cliff? The next season compared to whatever, is this something that we can see continuing on for another year or two before it kind of falls off? Or is it kind of just was this a 1 year thing? And then maybe next year it kind of goes back to normal.
So I think when we look at those different seasons, a lot of those running backs do end up still performing pretty well, maybe not as a whole, like the top 24 running backs. I did see when I was going through the data, lots of what is it called, drop-offs. Like, I would go through the different seasons when I came to rushing yards or touchdowns, and there was nothing even close. Like, it wasn't until I got to 2018. We've had, like, anywhere from 30 to 40 more rushing touchdowns, or I think last year we had, like, only 18,000 yards compared to 20,000. So I think there are dips and valleys and stuff like that, but those valleys and dips, I think they could last for 1 to 2 seasons. So I think it changes quite a bit, actually. But the elite talent is still pretty high. So that actually kind of segues into another thing I wanted to talk about. Saquon Barkley, who a lot of people, you know, think is having one of the most historical seasons, you know, for a running back. So through 14 weeks, he has 1,623 rushing yards. How far do you think you have to go back to find a better rusher as far as just on the ground through 14 weeks?
Trying to think of, like, the big monster years. So the last one I could think of, I don't think he caught enough balls. I was going to say Jonathan Taylor's second year, but I'm going to guess that's probably not it. Maybe, do we go back to, I mean, Barkley's rookie year was really good in 18.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
It's 2009. Chris Johnson had
Okay. Yeah, that was another one.
He only had 3 more rushing yards. So,
okay.
Yeah. But as far as fantasy points go, where do you think Barkley ranks in the last 10 years? The season he's having right now.
In the last 10 seasons? Oh, man, he's having a hell of a season. I'd probably say maybe, like, 2 or 3, because I know McCaffrey last year was a fucking monster. He scored every single week, and he was putting up yards and stuff, too. So I know McCaffrey was really good last year. I'd probably say, like, 2 or 3.
He actually ranked 7th.
7th, wow, okay.
And it's all because of the work in the receiving game. So CMC last year, Jonathan Taylor in 2021, Alvin Kamara in 2020, CMC again in 2019, Todd Gurley in 2018, and David Johnson in 2016, all had more PPR points.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For the first 15 weeks. But even if you change it from PPR to half PPR, because I thought, like, all right, maybe that's just, we're skewing it too much. Even if you change it, the only thing that happens is Kamara drops out. So he goes from, you know, being 7th to being 6th, which is pretty wild, I think. Because we feel like he's having one of the greatest seasons that we have ever seen. And it is. It's a really good season. But in the context of the last 10 years, he's only 7th or 6th.
Yeah, I mean, if he was putting up rookie year numbers, like 92 catches or whatever the hell he ended up with the Giants, then yeah. But yeah, I agree with you. He's not getting the volume of catches that a player like that should. He should be having 60, 70 catches, but he's only has whatever it is, like 30 or 40.
Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting, but I'm glad that this year has been definitely one of the best years that we've seen as a whole. And I'm glad it's not just Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry or Bijan Robinson. We're getting lots of different prediction. Yeah. All the way through RB1s and RB2s.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the running back talent looking pretty strong right now in the NFL. And upcoming here, you know, in this draft, it's only getting better. Like, they're projecting, you know, maybe 10 plus running backs go between round, you know, one. We could get maybe 2 running backs in round 1 this year. Definitely 1, I think. Round 2, 3, 4, they're projected at least 10 to 12 running backs probably going in that range this year. So we're getting an influx of really good, talented running backs into the NFL next year. Plus, these old guys are still hanging on. You got James Conner just signed a contract extension. Joe Mixon is doing good. We still have all these younger guys, Ken Walker, John Taylor, Barkley, Gibbs, Bijan, A-Chain, Breece Hall, Kyren. Like, all these guys are still doing good. Chase Brown's on the way up, and you still got some of these old heads hanging on, like, you know, Henry and Mixon that I mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, the running back position is going to be loaded again.
Yeah, I remember being on when we were doing Sauvage Semester. This is like 2 years ago now. Someone, I'm not going to name who it was, but they said that the RB position was going to be phased out in a couple of years because of how much passing was going on in the league, and that all those players were going to go transition to playing linebacker. And I couldn't hold my tongue. I was like, that's one of the most crazy takes I've ever heard. There's just no way that it's going to stay this way. The RB position has just been integral to offenses. You can't run an offense that's only through passing. And I wonder if we could have seen this coming. I mean, at least a lot of teams seem like they were prepared to really commit to the run. And I think it has completely a lot of it to do, not only with the talent, but with defensive schemes in particular.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough yet. You know, I really want to be able to dive into to film and to schemes. And that's going to be one of my biggest things that I really want to invest time into in the off season, is really being able to understand the ins and outs of the game. And I hope that we can leverage that type of data, you know, in order to predict these types of things. But the only reason why I went heavy on running back, especially in my underdog leagues, I broke my rule of drafting. Like, I usually cap myself at 30% for any player, and I could not keep passing up. I had so many teams that had Saquon Barkley in the two and Derrick Henry in the three turn. And yeah, they were able to get me really far. So
that's good.
Yeah. But
I think another thing too, you know, kind of go back to your question of how things have changed. So I think the defensive schemes have definitely changed, like you talked about, that more cover two shell that people talk about, that a lot of teams run to stop, you know, the Mahomes and Josh Allen's from just throwing over the top of you. I think that's, you know, pretty standard around the league now. But I think the newer wrinkle that's really coming into it is, yes, you talked about Saquon Barkley having the seventh best season over the last, whatever, 10 years or whatever it was. Yeah. Imagine if there was no fucking Jalen Hurts stealing 12 fucking rushing touchdowns from him at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
How you know, these quarterbacks right now with rushing the ball, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson, like, they are definitely taking away from the running backs, but the running backs are still producing. So in a way, they do help them scheme wise. Like, you got to stop Lamar and Derrick Henry. You got to plan for both of them. But it is taking away some of the stats from these guys, especially at the goal line, especially these bigger quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. Like, I mean, James Cook's having a good season. Saquon Barkley, tremendous season. They could be having even better seasons.
That's one thing. Yeah, that's a really good point that you bring up. It's not just the defensive schemes, but it's also these Konami code quarterbacks, these Russian quarterbacks who can get so much done on the ground. Like, all those quarterbacks that you mentioned, and also like players like Anthony Richardson and Kyler Murray and lots of other, you know, high upside rushing. Bo Nix, you know, he's like their best rusher on their team.
Jaden Daniels, yeah.
Jaden Daniels, yeah. That's another thing to really keep, you know, considering as well. So they do put a little bit of a cap on them, but they still are so integral to their offenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So what are some of the things that you look at, EV, when it comes to, if you're going to trade for a running back, what are the boxes that you like to check off? What do you like to look for in the most ideal type of running back in fantasy football?
So are we talking before the season, during the season?
For me, I think it's a lot easier to trade during the season with all the data points and how seasons change. But that's just my philosophy in general. I feel like when I make like one of the worst trades that I made this season that looked really good, was I traded Michael Pittman, or I traded away Devon Achane for Michael Pittman and a second. because I was so much on the hype train of AR. I thought how well Pittman did last season. I was just fully aboard. I was getting off the RBs. I had so many RBs. So luckily I'm still like first in that team. But yeah, I try not to trade four way players in the offseason.
Right. So what I look for kind of during the season, like they got to have the role. They got to be the one. Like I'm not trading for these Jaylen Warren types or anything like that unless they become the full-time guy. So there are some exceptions to the rule. Like I would trade for Montgomery or Gibbs, even though they're not, you know, not, one of them's not the one. Yeah. So there are exceptions to the rule. I usually like to try and get guys that do have some PPR upside, so I'm not like completely cratered on, you know, a guy who doesn't catch the ball. Like, I mean, he catches the ball, don't get me wrong, but I just want to bring up a guy from this weekend, Rico Dowdle. 149 rushing yards, tremendous game. I don't even think he had a catch in the receiving game, so he only got, you know, whatever, 14.9 points because he didn't have a touchdown or anything like that. So, you know, Rico Dowdle's a guy that, like that. Like, I like to have him, but, yeah, he didn't really score you that much. 14.9 is decent, but it's – for 149 yards, I expect I'd get a little bit more point-wise. So, yeah, that's kind of what I look for. I try to get some PPR guys and guys that do have the lead role if I can. You know, injuries, I try to avoid the injured guys a lot if I can, but sometimes just injuries happen. And even though this year, like, most of the running backs have survived, like, injury-wise. Like, McCaffrey was hurt from the beginning, so hopefully you were able to avoid that landmine, but... I mean, Barkley's been pretty healthy, and Derrick Henry's stayed healthy. You know, we had Pacheco hurt his leg. That was, you know, a big one there. But relatively, yeah, all the running backs, yeah, stayed pretty healthy this year.
Yeah, and everyone should have seen that CMC thing coming. He was on the cover of Madden, man. That thing, it's, I don't ever mess with that kind of thing. But yeah, you hit on two of the – the five key areas that I look at. So when you talked about role, I you know, equate that to snap share. I think that's the highest. That's one of the highest correlations that I have in my data. So if you were top 12 in snap share, there is a 66.67% chance that you're going to end up as a top 12 running back. So that's one of the highest correlations there. And then I like, you talked about PPR, so receiving work, including target share and routes per game, also really high up there. And that's, you know, we talked about it. We framed it in the context of Saquon Barkley compared to some of these other running backs. That's the one thing that has kind of edged him out is his lack of involvement in the receiving game. The other three areas that I look at, athleticism, including evaded tackles per game and breakaway run rate, red zone work, including touchdowns. And then one thing I'm paying a lot more attention to that I did not pay attention to last season, but I'm trying to improve, is playoff schedule. Being able to try to put yourself in, I don't know, imagine how these games are going to play out, the game script, especially when injuries start adding up. It's really important to be able to try to game plan how these you know, matchups are going to play out. And then as a bonus, the offense with the quarterback and the coach, you know, there are certain running backs like Chuba Hubbard who and Chase Brown that despite however the game is going or how bad their team is or how inept their coach is, they're still absolutely killing it. But those guys are the exception, not the rule. But those are the main key areas that I look at. I look at a lot of different metrics when it comes to the running backs, but those are the ones that I really try to focus on that I think help out the most when it comes to trying to find the best running back to win yourself a chip.
Yeah. I mean, I go back to, God, this is like 2017, 18 with Scott Connor, and he did his little RB study, and basically, like, PPR running backs were just king. Like, they were always the top guys.
Yeah.
So if you can get the guys that are catching the balls too, as well as being the top rushing guy, then you're set, man. Like that, those are the guys that you want to get. There are exceptions to the rule. There's the Derrick Henrys of the world that do exist, so it's not just all PPR guys. But like, especially when I'm going to draft a running back, like I want, usually I want one of the running backs that are going to be able to catch the ball. Like Ashton Jeanty has shown he can catch the ball. Caleb Johnson can catch the ball a little bit. You know, those are just a couple of the guys that are coming in for next year. Those guys I know it can catch. I'm going to be interested in them. There are some other guys though that didn't catch the ball very well, and I didn't draft too much of them.
Yeah.
And it's probably has paid off. So being able to catch the ball is definitely a big asset for the running backs, you know, especially for these PPR leagues.
So if you had to rank the top, say, like three or four running backs of our generation, just like the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 years of this current generation of running backs, who comes to mind first that you think is most Hall of Fame worthy?
McCaffrey. It's probably the one.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is Hall of Famer. And third one, I want to say Barkley, but I think I'm going to go Kamara because I think Kamara has had a really good career. Like Barkley's had a couple injuries and stuff to where if he wasn't injured, he would probably be smashing. But Kamara, I would probably say, is right up there because he's had a good year, like, every single season.
I am so glad that you said Kamara. And that's – I kind of wanted to see – that's the whole reason why I asked that question, is specifically because of Kamara. Kamara has been so good ever since he's come to the league.
Yep.
Every running back, you know, there's always – just like there's always one Tyreek Hill that's come out of every class. There's always one Kamara that's come out of every class. And – of course, they never come anywhere close to being anywhere like those two talented players. But Kamara, man, I think is a Hall of Fame worthy talent. And this year, he's still killing it. I mean, he ended up being
crazy. This is going to be his first 1,000 yard rushing season.
Isn't that insane? So did he already? Did he cross it already? Or
I thought he was close. I don't know if he hit it this week or not, but I know he was close. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like you talked about, man, Kamara, like, probably not going to win a championship, but yeah, he should be a definitely Hall of Fame worthy running back.
He's 50 yards short.
Yeah. If he hopefully he doesn't miss the rest of the season, he can get that.
Yeah,
that would be nice for him. But yeah, man, just we've definitely had some good running backs over our time. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's been really really awesome.
Yeah. For sure, man. So let's talk about some more of these running backs that you kind of talked about. I kind of want to talk about some of these younger guys that you've kind of pointed out here. So like rookie this year, Bucky Irving, a couple of years ago was Chuba Hubbard. What are you kind of seeing from some of these younger guys? Do you think those are guys that we can kind of count on, you know, becoming these 7-8 year vets that keep producing? Or because I know like the kind of the rule a couple years ago was you want to get out of these running backs before they hit their second contract. Their second contract is when you got rid of them. But if you look at it, like Kamara's still producing, Josh Jacobs is still producing, all these guys are still producing on their second contracts now. So maybe that myth's kind of got busted.
Yeah, I think like I was alluding to earlier, I really want to do a deep dive where I look at multi-year just to see how many of these guys make it into their second contract. One of the things that I remember from a PFF article that I read a while ago was just once you get up to a certain number of touches, you kind of tank. But Joe Mixon really threw that in my face this year. Yeah. Dalvin Cook, he completely fell off. But for some reason, Joe Mixon... he's having one of the best years of his career. But as
Josh Jacobs too.
Yeah. And Josh Jacobs. So Josh Jacobs, him specifically, he's probably one of my favorite buys. Can you guess, who has, sorry, I kind of gave away the answer the way I was about to frame it, But so Derrick Henry, since he's come to the league, he's had the most rush attempts over the past six seasons. Josh Jacobs is right behind him. So yep, over the past six seasons, I remember when he came into the league, he was one of the youngest running backs. He was a first round pick.
He was 20-year-old. Yep.
Yeah, and he's killing it right now, especially when it comes to the athleticism. He's fourth in the league at evaded tackles per game. He's sixth in the league at elusive rating at 96.3. But the reason why he's a buy is because there's no running back that's getting more production than he is right now. So he's got the second most production on the best usage amongst running backs, according to Hayden Winks at Underdog. He has the pleasure of playing for a team that runs the ball on an insane 66% neutral run rate on first and second downs. That's first in the NFL. So they pass the ball the least on first and second downs, only at 44% there. So, and the only team that they're behind are the Buccaneers. You brought up Bucky Irving as far as expected fantasy points for running backs. So you expect a lot of usage and a lot of points for Josh Jacobs. Which is crazy because his snap share is not that high. Josh Jacobs, it's only 64.1%, but because of how much they're running the ball, it really honestly doesn't matter because they're running the ball so much. The only thing that is tough that I'm thinking about with him, they have to play Minnesota in week 17. So I don't know if Josh Jacobs is so good that he's still going to be able to smash against the Vikings, because no one smashed against the Vikings this season. They're the number one team against the run as far as allowing fantasy points goes. So that's the only thing that I worry about. But he's good enough that I traded for him last week in another league, and then in – another league that I did not expect to win, and I could still trade. I might send a first and a third for him this week, because I think not only is he going to be great this season, but next season as well, even if he doesn't help you in the championship.
Yeah, I think Jacobs is kind of built like one of those guys that could last here a couple more years.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone thought James Conner was dead 2-3 years ago too, and he still keeps producing. So yeah, there's just some of these guys that are just these bigger built guys are lasting, and that is one of the main reasons I love this draft class coming in this year, is all of these guys are like 215, 220, 225. They're fucking tanks, every single one of them.
Yeah,
there's like a very few guys that are like in the 205 range that I like, but all these guys that are coming in next year are just fucking tanks. So I love seeing that. That should really help out the running back position for next year.
Yeah. And a lot of these running backs, I also like to look at their elite traits. So if they're in the 90 plus percentile of 40 B score, burst score, or agility that you can look at on Player Profiler, that is one of the bigger indications that I like to look at. So you brought up Bucky Irving earlier. The thing with Bucky Irving that I kind of worry about is that Rashad White, I don't think, is going to go anywhere. And someone brought this up during AMA, and they asked, because he sent a first plus to acquire Bucky Irving. He thought he was going to be a game winner down the stretch. And I kind of just put him on the list just because I want him, you know, as far as in the future. But I'm not sure if he's going to be a league winner. We already know that he's already banged up since I've written this article. But he's first in elusiveness. He's third in yards after contact, third in yards created per touch, and fourth in breakaway runway rate. Dang, I tried so hard not to screw that one up. That is so hard to say. Breakaway run rate. So he's got the explosiveness there, but his snap share is only 44% at the time of writing this, and he's got only a 9.2% target share. You like to see at least 10% plus when it comes to target share. Only has 6 TDs. And it doesn't get out a lot of red zone looks. So It's the PPR upside. It's the TD downside that's holding him back. And it's also the, what is it? Rashad White still being there. But he is on a team that they utilize the running backs probably better than any other team outside of the Packers. So that's why he's still smashing despite his limited opportunities.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point there with Bucky and Rashad White. But if you look at their stats, like, week to week, like, they're still fantasy starters for you every single week, even though they're split in time. I think that's one of the things that we're going to have to kind of get used to. There's very, very few, you know, backfields nowadays that are going to be, like, 90% to one guy. It's just not going to happen anymore. Like, even, like, Josh Jacobs still has Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks running the ball a little bit. Justice Hill comes in from time to time. You know, he was earlier in the season, it was like Justice Hill is playing more snaps than Derrick Henry still. He wasn't getting the touches, but, you know, Justice Hill was playing just as many snaps as Derrick Henry. So I think we're going to have to get used to it as a community that, oh man, this guy only plays, you know, 55% of the snaps, but I just care about the touches, like his carries, his catches, targets, all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, we're just not going to get some guy that's out there 90% of the time unless they are just an absolute unicorn.
Yeah, we only have three players that are above 80% when it comes to snap share. And then we only have an additional seven players that are above 70%. The only way that you can make up that snap share really is work in the receiving game. So still a buy for me. He was last year, and I think he's still going to kill it this year, is Kyren Williams. He still remains the highest snap share player in the league. I really wanted to see Blake Corum. I drafted him everywhere this season, but I'm still happy to see Kyren Williams is killing it. But I do want to see Blake Corum be able to get more touches in there.
I think he will too. I mean, just McVay. Yeah, he just kind of how he is. He just leans on one guy. He's shown it in the past with Gurley and Daryl Henderson when Daryl Henderson was in there, and he kind of just leans on one guy. So that's one of the, you know, few examples of a guy that likes to have just one guy in there. But there's also some there's some hype there for Corum still. Like, he's still gonna play. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, You're kind of talking about some buys and sells. Like, so who are some of your, like, top buys that you want to buy that are, like, not the obvious, you know, Barkley, Gibbs, Bijan names?
Yeah. So, those RBs that I wrote about. So we already talked about Jacobs and a little bit about Bucky, and I just alluded to Kyren Williams. So those were all buys for me. Alvin Kamara is still a buy for me. I mean, he was a buy last year, and he's still a buy for me this year. I had him on this list. And then I wrote them down as one-shot wonders. These are running backs that can win you a chip that their future is kind of iffy next year, but it's still worth it, especially at their price. Those include James Conner and Chase Brown at the same time. Chuba Hubbard. And then, of course, I had to write about my dude, Derrick Henry. So I think he's still, even though he had, I think this, if you somehow survived and you beat, like I did, a lot of Derrick Henry teams this past week, I would not feel bad about, you know, trading away a late first to get him. There's no way he's going to have two, you know, stinkers of a game in a row. Right. So those are the guys that I put on the buy list. Are there any of those guys that kind of stick out to you that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I have Chase Brown definitely on my buy list. Chuba Hubbard would be on my buy list.
Chuba Hubbard's even more like of a buy now because, unfortunately, what happened?
Yeah, with Brooks, right? With Brooks. Yeah.
So
I'm trying to look and see at some other guys that I would buy. Yeah, because we get down to here, that gets in them some muddy waters. But I think, yeah, Chase Brown and Chuba are two on my list that I would definitely want to buy. I like Jacobs, too. That's a good one.
Yeah. So I put Chuba, I think he's probably arguably the biggest surprise of any running back this season. especially considering he's playing for arguably the worst team, you know, in the league right now. He's eighth amongst running backs with eight TDs at the time of writing this. 73.1% snap share, ninth in red zone touches with 38. He's got the fourth best production on the second best usage. And his playoff schedule is pretty awesome with the Cowboys, Cardinals, and Buccaneers. That's one of the best playoff schedules in fantasy. So you might as well just trade for him now if you're still in the playoff hunt. I think you can get him for 2 seconds, maybe a late first. But some teams are more desperate to acquire players. And then, yeah, Chase Brown, I think I put him down as one of the most peculiar players just because of his usage in the passing game. He's always involved, and he's got that whole backfield into himself despite what the game script is. He's top 12 in target share. He is the most – at the time of writing this article, he was the most productive running back over the past 4 weeks of what was it, 13, 12, 11, and 10 at that time. And, yeah, 84.8% snap share. It's only behind JT and Chuba. So I think the only thing that I keep hearing when it comes to Cincy, they need a lot of different players when it comes to the draft, especially on defense. So I would not be surprised that they draft a running back. That's why everyone, I think, is so reluctant to trade for him. And when I tried to trade for him, people went first for him, which is not going to happen. I don't think he's worth that much. But especially if they draft another running back. But if you can get him for 2 seconds or under, I think that's definitely worth a buy.
Yeah, I agree with you. So here, we'll play a little game here. Have you looked at Keep Trade Cut lately? Or
I have not. I have it up. I have it minimized. So
no, yeah, okay. I'm just going to have you guess who's in the top 10 of running backs right now on Keep Trade Cut.
Okay. So I would.
You don't have to do them in order. You can just name them.
Okay. Saquon Barkley.
Yep. He's number three.
He's number three? Oh my God. Okay. That would probably put Bijan and Gibbs at top two ahead of him.
Yep. Bijan and Gibbs are one and two. So you have the top three.
Is Breece four?
Breece is five.
Breece is five. Okay. And then, oh man, is Devon Achane?
He's number four, so he's the one above Bree. So you have the top five.
Okay, I got the top five. Is Derrick Henry still a top 10 running back?
He is not. No, he is at RB 14.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. I'm trying to think of who else would be.
There's one in here that's kind of blowing my mind that he's this high, but the rest of them I could definitely make a case for being in the top 10.
Okay. Kenneth Walker is one of my favorite running backs. He's got to be in the top 10, right?
Yeah, he's RB 7, so you have 1 to 5 and 7.
I don't think Josh Jacobs is still in the top 10, is he? He's outside
he
of it.
He just fell. He's at 11.
Yeah, that's Kyron Williams.
Yep, so he's six, so you have the top seven.
And, man, I'm starting to draw a blank now on running backs in the league.
So these three running backs were drafted in the last 4 years.
Okay.
Maybe 5 years. I forget when the one was drafted. I think I'm pretty sure it's 4 years.
I don't know. You got to give me a little bit more of a hint. My brain is starting to slow down right now. The wine's starting to hit.
I will say two of them are in the AFC, one NFC.
Two in the AFC. Did I say Jonathan Taylor? I forgot him.
He is number 10, so you have 8 and 9 available, and both of these teams are currently playoff teams.
Oh, is David Montgomery in the top 10?
No, he is at 13 above Derrick Henry, but that's going to drop, obviously.
Hmm. Okay, I just need to go by teams. And, no one in the NFC North. Okay, NFC West. Brian Robinson wanted to be in the top 10.
Nope.
He's, and no. Is Tyrone Tracy in the top 10?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure, man. I'm starting to draw a blank.
Both of these running backs are in division-leading teams right now.
Oh, Bucky Irving. Is he top 10? Yes.
He is somehow in the top 10 at RB8.
Wow.
Over Taylor, Jacobs, Chase Brown, Derrick Henry, Mixon, all those guys.
Wow.
I like the player. I think that's way too high. That's probably his peak value right now.
Yeah, so I traded him before he had that last blow-up game. I traded him away for two early seconds and two thirds, and then he got hurt. So that was on a rebuilding team, but I don't know. I think I got out and then, maybe fair value.
And then the number 9 running back's on a division-leading AFC team.
Pacheco?
No.
Oh, James Cook.
James Cook, that is correct.
Yeah.
That's one guy who kind of gets
forgotten
left out. Yeah, forgotten about is James Cook, but he's having a hell of a season too, and that's coming from me personally, who completely shitted on him since he's been drafted. Like, I just never saw this coming from him, and I will eat shit on this one because he's definitely outperformed anything I thought he would do.
Yeah. So James Cook, and also the other guy that I mentioned, Isaiah Pacheco, they kind of ranked a little bit lower in my process. He only gets – this is James Cook I'm talking about. He's got a 10.3% target share, which is still top 24. He's got a decent dominator. He's in the top 12 at 27.8%. He's got 11 TDs. Which is top 6, but he's only got 34 red zone looks. So, like, the explosiveness isn't really there. The elusiveness isn't really there. Doesn't run a ton of routes. They don't use him as much as they could. And then the snap share is also, he's outside the top 24 when it comes to snap share. And with Ray Davis there and Ty Johnson, like, Ty Johnson led the team in receiving the other day. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that was. Amari Cooper went 0 for 0. Didn't even get a fucking target.
I remember us being on start sit, and you were like, "No, I'm gonna go with Amari Cooper. He had 14 targets. He's gonna get something. He gets shit."
That made no sense. Made none.
Yeah. So James Cook, I don't know. I think it's tough to put him in the top 12. I think he might be a tad bit overrated, especially with Josh Allen getting so much production on the ground.
But James Cook gets a ton of production too, because they're scoring touchdowns, and it's not from Josh Allen throwing the ball a ton. Like, it's not like they have some 10, you know, guy with 10 touchdowns receiving. Like, who has the most touchdowns on the receiving on their team? Maybe Shakir with like 3 or 4. That's it. Kincaid ain't doing shit. James Cook has been racking up touchdowns this year too. So
yeah,
I think he's another underrated guy that maybe you could get a little cheaper than he should be.
He's at the very back end of what I would put as an RB1. He's in the 11 to like 13 range for me. So
he's one of the guys when you were speaking about schedule for the rest of the season, I would go get. They play the Patriots and then the Jets.
Yes.
Sign me up for some James Cook for the rest of the year.
Yeah, the Bills have one of the easiest schedules for now that they finished that game and then endured the Detroit Lions. The whole rest of this season is a cupcake for them. The other guy that I'm very interested in is Isaiah Pacheco. Before he got hurt, he had a 72% snap share. He had a 16.3% target share, which is top 6. He was top 24 in routes per game. He was dominating the league, and they leaned so heavily on the run game. He's got Also, too, when I was looking at his combine numbers, I forgot how explosive and much of a freak Isaiah Pacheco is. He's in the 99th percentile when it came to his 40, in the 98th percentile when it came to his speed. So, and they are the number three team when it comes to how much expected points come to the running back position. So I generally don't trade for running backs coming off an injury. Coop did a really great job on an episode on that. But Isaiah Pacheco, man, might be kind of a sneaky buy. So,
especially with now Mahomes' injured ankle, they should be running the ball a lot more too.
Yeah, they're going to run the piss out of it. Freaking, but he, I don't know. They, Mahomes usually, you know, bangs up his ankle right around this time of year every year and then gets through it. So, I think if I had to name one running back that absolutely smashes the rest of the way, it would probably have to be Jahmyr Gibbs, though. After losing Montgomery, and they have so many players that are injured on their defense, Jahmyr Gibbs is, I think, going to absolutely smash since he can run and catch the ball probably better than almost any other running back in the league. So,
okay. Yeah, I can get behind that. So let's do two more things. Older running backs that you are still interested in. Who are some of those guys that you're still interested in? I know you mentioned Kamara earlier.
Kamara and Henry and James Conner. Would probably,
and this is for going, not for just years, going forward.
Going forward, yeah. I still think that Derrick Henry, James Conner, and Alvin Kamara, they still, we shouldn't be surprised if all of them are top 12 running backs next year. And I think with Kamara and Derrick Henry, they can easily be top six running backs next year as well. There's just no real sign of them slowing down. And I wrote about how Derrick Henry in December is absolutely insane. That's why, even though he had one kind of crappy game against the Giants when they could have just completely smashed them, there's only been two other running backs in NFL history that have more rushing, average rushing yards and touchdowns in December. Can you name those two players?
Did I say it again? I'm sorry.
So Henry, in December, he averages 89.3 rushing yards per game and 0.97 touchdowns per game over his career in the final month of the year. Okay. So can you name the two players in NFL history, all of NFL history, that have outrushed him and scored more touchdowns per average?
You got to give me a hint on the two. How far are we going back?
Name the two best running backs of all time.
Okay, so Emmitt Smith and probably Barry Sanders.
So I personally put Jim Brown and Barry Sanders.
Or Jim Brown, okay. Yeah.
Those are the only two running backs that have averaged more yards and more touchdowns in the last month of the year. So when it's playoff time, you know, what you do in December is what people remember. Derrick Henry is, you know, only behind them. He's in the same, you know, rarefied era as Dickerson and Gale Sayers, but he overshadows the other guy that you just mentioned, Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, Walter Payton, Priest Holmes, OJ Simpson, Marshall Faulk, Tony Dorsett, and Terrell Davis. So I try to think of all the best running backs in NFL history. He does better than them in December. So. Which is all pretty wild.
Let me name you some of the older running backs and just kind of get your thoughts on them. Christian McCaffrey. Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, I think, unfortunately, is done. I think that from what I've heard about that injury, I'm not a doctor, but my dad's a doctor, so that kind of makes me a little bit of a doctor, that when it comes to especially injuries that we don't see all that much, like – you know, when it comes to his Achilles and stuff like that, that's, I don't know. This sounds scary as shit, man. And the fact that they are giving him the second highest snap share in the NFL, he's only behind Kyron Williams. He's still at 88% snap share. I have no idea why the 49ers are doing that when Jordan Mason was killing it before he got there. They did not need to do that to him. So I don't know. I don't think with his injury and how much tread he has in the tires that I think we've seen the last of CMC as a top 12 running back. I wouldn't be surprised if he's done in the next year. Unfortunately. Okay.
How about Najee Harris?
Najee Harris, he was someone.
He is a free agent too.
Yeah, I bet they still bring him back though. I think they love the duo between him and Jaylen Warren. He played so bad before Russell Wilson came in, and then he's been playing a lot better. But he ranked only 27th in my process just because how many bad weeks that he had leading up to it. And yeah, he's just. The only reason why I was willing to draft him this year, but I've stayed away from him every other year, is because of Arthur Smith as the OC. Right. But I should have been more on it because of Russell Wilson. But yeah, he's not someone that I'm ever going to really draft.
How about Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones actually ranked, surprisingly high. In my process, he's someone that I'd be willing to trade a second, a third for. I think you could get one more really good year out of him. He runs an insane amount of routes. He's still top 12 in route percentage. He's still top 24 in fantasy points per game, snap share, target share. And he has an insane amount of red zone touches. He has 42 through weeks 13. That's top six. So he has a really awesome role that no one is really going to test them for unless they draft a running back this year. And they run the hell out of the ball also too, and a lot more than you think in Minnesota.
Okay. And then how about some of these younger running backs? We didn't really talk about Tyrone Tracy too much. Do you think he has the talent to continue to be the lead running back, or if they bring in a whole new coach, a new GM, do you think Tyrone Tracy is maybe just, a split back guy?
So I was going back and forth on Tyrone Tracy. He's got elite athleticism with the 93 burst score, 96 percentile agility. He ranks in the top 12 when it comes to breakaway run rate, 6.9%. And he's top 24 when it comes to routes. So he's got the receiving, he's got the athleticism, but he's one of those guys when I was talking about the boxes that I like to check, the bonus I put was the team and the coach and the quarterback. And the Giants don't check any of those boxes. And you will have, on average, 80% of the top 12 running backs are top 10 teams. So, or top 12 teams there. There's always one or two that aren't really bad teams, but they are so good at running back. So your Chuba Hubbards are, they would fit that category. Tyrone Tracy, I do not think he is elite enough to be able to be like him and Breece Hall to be so good that you can overcome your circumstances. So Tyrone Tracy, I think, is someone that I love as a player, but I'm staying away from in fantasy football, unfortunately. There are other people I'd rather have.
Okay. Let's see another one here. I kind of want to get your thoughts on this duo because I really don't know what to think of them, and that's ETN and Bigsby in Jacksonville.
Oh, man. So, yeah, they have been – that's been a pretty bad dumpster fire in Jacksonville.
You can't get a read on it.
Yeah, so Tank Bigsby, he ranked as my 31st player. He's top 24 in evaded tackles. He is top six in breakaway runs, which is pretty awesome to see someone that big be that explosive. He gets a decent amount of red zone touches. Yards created per touch, 4.38. That's also top six in the NFL. And the elusive rating via PFF, Tank Bigsby's second only behind Bucky Irving. which kind of blows my mind. And when it comes to yards created after contact per attempt, Tank Bigsby is number one in the league. So he's got some of this sneaky upside athleticism that I think is pretty awesome. But now when it comes to Travis Etienne, I got to see where he even ranks because I have to.
He might be down there a little bit.
He's 41st of the 48 running backs that I graded. He had a really bad year this year. He's still top 24 in target share. He's still top 12 in breakaway runs. And he's targets per route run. He's still top six. And that's it. That's why he ranks so low in my process. He's outside the top 24 in every other category. So he's not really worth that much to me at this point, unfortunately. So if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with Tank. But that's only based off of 1 year, and that's on a terrible team. So I wouldn't want either of them, to be completely honest with you.
And then the last one I want to bring up is Rico Dowdle. Do you think he can continue to be the Cowboys' lead running back, or do you think they end up drafting somebody?
So I think Rico Dowdle might be the biggest fugazi that we have. He is probably, if I had to have a top sell candidate that I would be willing to trade for even 2/3, even if he can be a league winner this year. We have to remember just how bad the running game was and how inept it was before the last month of the season. And I think that's more of an indicator of his future. So he ranks outside of the top 24, at least through the first 13 weeks that I did this. I know it's changed a lot over the last month. He's been getting a ton of usage over the last month. But through the first 13 weeks, he doesn't rank inside the top 24 in any major metric. That's just a huge red flag to me. He averaged 11.2 fantasy points per game. It's not until I get all the way to targets per route run, which I didn't even realize he actually does get a solid amount of targets. He's in the top six. And that's the only thing that he ranks inside the top 24 in. So that's the... I think that they're going to move on from him. They're going to be okay with letting him go or come back as a backup running back. They are going to definitely draft a running back this year, so or next season. So I think he's definitely a one-hit wonder.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Now, good stuff, man. We always enjoy looking at your articles. You always bring some good points and counterpoints and all that stuff. So, no, this is good stuff, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah, running backs are one of my favorite positions. I think that they're definitely not dead, and I'm looking forward to them continuing to smash and people continuing to fade them and us be able to reap the rewards.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to have to evaluate on my teams this offseason. I usually don't acquire running backs, and acquiring running backs during the offseason is never really a great thing. I might have to wait till after the draft to do that. I think doing it before the draft is a little, unless they are just absolutely rock solid secure, like a Josh Jacobs or something. But anybody that's like wishy-washy like that, like any Denver running back, any of these, I don't even think ETN or Bigsby's safe. So
yeah, I don't think they are either. Yeah, and yeah. I think the reason why I have the running backs last as far as the players that I dive into is because usually running backs are pretty fragile. You know, there's a lot of injuries. We've gotten really lucky this season, but I think if you wait until right before your playoff push, that's generally when I like to trade for running backs, and we have a lot more data to go off of by week 12 to 13. So,
okay, good stuff. All right, we ready to do America's favorite game, and then we'll get on out of here?
Hell yeah. I'm going to light a candle for this one. I'm going to set the mood for this.
Oh, Jesus. All right. All right, so how about we do this one? Because I know you're a movie guy. Let's go with what is your favorite sports movie?
Oh man, are we gonna do a little draft? If I had to do our top three,
yeah, we can do.
Yeah.
That.
So if I had the 101 pick, it's definitely gonna be Moneyball. Moneyball for me is. It's a very special movie. It's not just because, like, that whole story, it being based off a true story, with how much of that story being based on analytics. And I'm not even a big baseball fan. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But the underdog story and them going up against, like, the Yankees of the time, and this is the Athletics. That's the whole reason why, if you've ever seen me wear baseball caps, I'm always wearing an A's hat. It's because of that movie. Mm-hmm. Even though I could care less about baseball, that movie gave me a huge appreciation for analytics and data. But then also too, like, one thing I really try to focus on, and I'm trying to do more and more and more, and I want it to be something I'm more known for, is diving into players that were counted out or went up against crazy odds and were overlooked, but that the data was there all along. And because of certain circumstances, that's what, like, players like Puka Nacua, I think, are players that come to mind first when it comes to those types of circumstances where they were always talented, but for some reason or not, they were faded. And they come in and they show everybody, like, you know, how amazing they were. So, yeah, that in the book is also really, really amazing too.
Yeah. So, I've read the book. I love the movie. It probably would be my second favorite sports movie, so that's a good pick.
Thank you.
Yeah. My first movie, easy, Any Given Sunday.
Yeah. Al Pacino. Easy. Yeah. Jamie Foxx is so good.
Yeah, it is a fantastic football movie.
Yeah, so that would
be my pick.
The fact that both LT and Jim Brown are in that movie is just, like, it really kind of puts it over the top for me. Those are my two favorite characters in the movie too. They're just so edgy. It's awesome.
There's just so many good one-liners in that movie too. Like, I just love the one at the beginning where Cap gets hurt. And then the backup comes in, and the trainer's with Cap, and the assistant comes up. He's like, "Oh, Jaravini's down. Jaravini, what do you do? Fall off the fucking bench?"
I fucking love that. Oh my god! The when he's eating cheese puffs on the sideline, those cheese curls, and then he's trying to give the play and throws up. It's like everyone's like,
"Ugh." Right, right.
The part's so good.
All right. Let's go ahead with your number two sports movie.
Oh man,
in the draft.
So I'm just gonna type in it to Google right now, just so that I don't forget anything right now, because nothing's. Moneyball is easily my. My one.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different sports movies too. I mean, you could go like any basketball movie or football, baseball, hockey, golf,
boxing,
boxing movies. Yep.
So I'm not going to say Dodgeball. That's pretty high on this list. I'm looking at right here. I really, really like there's some really good movies I'm looking at right now. I really like, you ever seen The Hurricane with Denzel Washington? It's a boxing movie.
No, I don't think I have.
That's one of my favorite movies. When it comes to sports of all time, it's based off a true story. It's a really, really sad story. It's about this really elite boxer who was accused for a murder that he never committed and was later exonerated for, but he spent decades in prison. Let me see how long, but Bob Dylan wrote, arguably one of my favorite song by Bob Dylan is called Hurricane. It's based off of that story.
I'll have to add that one to the list to check out.
Yeah, I think that's the best boxing movie of all time. I would take that over Rocky.
Because well, that's funny because I was gonna give my next one, and that's a boxing movie, and that's Rocky IV.
Rocky IV, yeah, with Dolph Lundgren.
Drago, yeah. I mean, that is just such an iconic movie for sports. Absolutely love that movie. Every time it's on, I gotta put it on. I mean, there's just so much good stuff in that movie. So I'm gonna go with Rocky IV as my next one.
Yeah, there. When I was training for the police academy, I had quite a lot of Rocky music in the playlist when I was in the gym, just pretend I was in that montage, just training. You know.
There you go.
It's pretty awesome. All right,
how about your number three? What do you got?
I also really love Warrior with Tom Hardy. That's probably also one of my favorite Tom Hardy movies of all time. The MMA, and it's also got Nick Nolte in it as well. But this is just the story of two brothers and mm-hmm. them just training their asses off. It's just, I don't know. There's not much dialogue in that movie, but you can just see the heart and the dedication they have in that movie is, I think, is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ford versus Ferrari is also. Do you have any racing movies that you really, really like?
I mean, the era I grew up in is Days of Thunder, so that's easy.
Oh, yeah. Days of Thunder is, I think, is one of. I would take that over Top Gun. I don't know if that's a bold.
They're talking about making a second one now with.
Tom Cruise
and all that. That would be really cool because they haven't done a really good NASCAR movie in ages. So,
yeah, that's dude. Yeah, Days of Thunder is just one of my favorite. Dude, yeah, that might actually be like in the top five for me as well.
Okay,
that's a really, really good one. If I wanted to cry my eyes out, I'll watch Iron Claw. Jesus, that movie was so intense. Or The Wrestler. Those are also really
good. Yeah, those are all really good ones. Yeah, I haven't seen Iron Claw yet. It's on my list. I would probably say my third one. I love The Miracle that Disney did with the 1980 U.S. Olympic team. I love that movie too.
Yeah, that one's really, really good. Probably my last one would be Caddyshack. Caddyshack.
Okay.
Yeah, if I had to have a golf movie in there, that definitely has to be in the top five. I probably rewatch that outside of Moneyball the most. That's my like favorite Bill Murray movie, and I quote it all the freaking time.
All right, so I'm just gonna name off some more ones that I like. I'll go baseball first. So have you seen 61? It was an HBO movie that Billy Crystal did with obviously with Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. It's with Barry Pepper is Roger Maris.
Oh, and that's not good.
I forget who Mickey Mantle was off the top of my head, but that was a really good one. Always really enjoyed that movie. The other baseball ones. I love Little Big League, where the kid gets his grandfather is the Twins GM or owner, and he becomes the coach and all that, and owner and all that. I love that movie. That's a good movie. Angels in the Outfield from back in the day when I was like six. That's always a good movie.
Yeah, I'm a big field of baseball dreams ones. Guy.
Obviously, Major League, being from Cleveland. So
this guy's dead. Cross them off.
I quote that movie at least three or four times a month, at least.
Yeah, and
I was gonna say my two favorites from that, or and I use it all the time, is if somebody at work or just around me makes a mistake. And does that, and I'll be like, oh yeah, it's okay, and, you know, no problem. And then I'll just be like, don't ever fucking do it again, though. Just like he does, like, hey, nice catch, Hayes. Don't ever fucking do it again. I love that. And then this one always pops up on my Facebook because I always share it. Is around this time actually is when you talk about the Cleveland Browns and you just bring up the meme of they're still shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Asian Valk field crew just talking in Asian. They're still shitty.
They're still shitty. Yeah. Us being Ohio guys, yeah, Major League definitely has to be up there. The other one that has to make my top five that I watch all the time, I just recently watched it, it still hits, is Kingpin.
Kingpin. Oh, I fucking love that movie. Yes, I love Kingpin.
That's like the... I think that's the best Woody Harrelson movie, and it's just like, it's so...
It's one of them, yeah.
No one ever talks about it, and it is so freaking funny. It also has Bill Murray in it. That and Caddyshack are just two of my favorite hilarious, you know, comedies of all time. They're both sports movies, but that ending scene when they play Showdown by ELO is so good. And it's just like such a great underdog story. And then he just loses. And he's like, no, he's just sitting there at the end.
That's a really good one. Just trying to cap off any baseball movies that I forgot about, but nothing's like, I mean, I dare have some other ones, but nothing's coming to my head. Football ones, Any Given Sunday is the top of the list for me. Obviously, Remember the Titans. Everybody loves that movie. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
I love Necessary Roughness. Yeah. That's always a good one to watch. That's an older school movie. Little Giants from back in the day when I was a kid. That was a popular one.
Yeah, I'm a big Waterboy guy. That's probably my
Waterboy,
favorite.
Waterboy, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Basketball. There's definitely some good basketball ones. I love Celtic Pride. If I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Never seen it. Yeah.
It's with Dan Aykroyd and I can't think of the guy the name of him, but the one guy from Home Alone, one of the robber guys, not Joe Pesci, but the other one. It's him and Dan Aykroyd, and they kidnapped the Utah Jazz player that's in the movie. Like, and they're Celtics fans, obviously. So, and they're playing in the playoffs, so they kidnap them.
Nothing tops Space Jam for me, man.
Space Jam. The original Space. I haven't seen the second one. Could care less about the second one.
Space Jam is so good.
Yes, the first original Space Jam was awesome. Have you ever seen Eddie with Whoopi Goldberg?
No.
That's another really good one. And that has like real players in it too. But I like Eddie. Eddie was a good movie.
Uncut Gems and Air were two of the more recent
Uncut
ones.
Gems I did watch, yeah. I mean, it's a basketball movie, but it's not.
It's a lot about gambling.
Yeah. Blue Chips. Fucking love Blue Chips. Tell me you've seen Blue Chips.
Nick Nolte. Yeah.
Yes. Blue Chips. Great movie. And then let's see. What else we got here? We got hockey. Gotta love... why can't I think of the name? Oh, my goodness. It just slipped my mind.
The Mighty Ducks?
Well, obviously Mighty Ducks, yes. But no, the one with Paul Newman.
Oh, Slapshot.
Slapshot. Fuck yeah. Well, Slapshot movies are awesome.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah.
What's the parody one that is really, really good? It's like one of the greatest
for hockey?
Yeah. Man, what was it? Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Slapshot, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, Slapshot with the Hanson brothers where they just beat the shit out of everybody. Mighty Ducks is obviously awesome.
Yeah.
Gotta love Mighty Ducks. I'm trying to think of any other sports ones.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore is awesome.
Yeah, that one's a really, really good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we could go on and on and on with this all day, but.
I think we got all the best ones, though. If you guys haven't seen any of those movies, then you guys got some homework to do over Christmas break.
Yeah, or they're going to yell at us like, how the hell did you not mention this movie or that movie? That too, I can see that.
Dude, we got Kingpin and Caddyshack in there, so I'm good.
Yeah, I got so much movies and stuff I want to watch and show, so I got to get on it here, that's for sure.
Yeah, watch Hurricane and Iron Claw and Wrestler, some of those more.
Right. I want to check out this new movie that Netflix dropped that everybody's talking about, that Carry On movie. With Jason Bateman and stuff. It just recently dropped, I think, this week. But it's supposed to be, it's getting like really high audience score, like edge of your seat kind of thriller movie. So definitely want to check that out.
Taron Egerton is in it. Yeah. And Jason Bateman plays the villain. This is pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not like a role that you see Jason Bateman in a lot. So I'm really curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, the most recent one that I watched that was really amazing. Did you ever see Long Legs with it was a horror. You're not really into horror, are you?
No, I mean, I don't like horror movies. I just like horror movies with horrors in it.
Well, don't watch Long Legs. It will freak you the F out. It is so good, though. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. But yeah, no, this Carry On movie I definitely want to check out. I did see Gladiator 2 will be coming to streaming soon, too, so I want to definitely check that out.
I'm kind of sad. Maybe I should still, if it's still in theaters, maybe I should go see it. Like,
mine are, too. I haven't decided yet. I mean, I could probably go and be the only one in the theater, which is always nice. You know, have kids crying and people on their fucking phones pissing you off, so.
Yeah, I think we gotta support the theaters, EV. Let's go get a big
ass popcorn. I always do, always do.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's gonna be it this week for America's Game episode 73. Next week's episode will drop the day after Christmas. So next time we will talk to everybody, we'll be you'll be having Christmas with your family. So Merry Christmas to everybody out there, all the listeners. Hopefully you guys have a very good time with your families. Enjoy everybody's company and all that good stuff. So hope you guys have very, very good holidays.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. This is my ultimate Christmas present, Evie. It's just you being able to get me on here. So I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate all the listeners and people at South Harmon, man. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, you're full of shit for the first part, but I appreciate it. All right, so that'll wrap it up, guys. We'll be back for next week. Good luck in week 16 if you're still alive. Hopefully you can advance in those fantasy playoffs. So,